This week, a virus made its home in my body, and you can likely hear its effects. So this won't be long, but we're going to share communion together, so that's a good thing. The virus made its presence known last Sunday, beginning with a tickle in my throat and then some dripping from my nose. You know the drill. And by Monday, it was a full-blown head cold. This is what happens, I suppose, when siblings from four different cities gather in the same house and cook food together and share guest bathrooms and exchange holiday handshakes and high fives and hugs. It's rather inevitable. A friend of mine commented that it's a little like those white elephant gift exchanges where everyone shows up with stuff they don't want, and then everyone leaves with other stuff they don't want. So, for what it's worth. By Monday night, I was sitting on an airplane on the tarmac of the Oakland airport. Our Portland to Oakland leg had already been delayed an hour. And this second flight from Oakland to Ontario was now 2 hours behind schedule. We had just finished boarding when the pilot announced there was a small mechanical problem that they would be addressing that should only take 10 or 12 or 40 minutes to fix, and then we'd be on our way. It was nearly midnight. There was a baby screaming in the back row of the airplane. There was a woman 5 rows behind me that was making her unhappiness known verbally for all to hear, curse words and all. I had Kleenex stuffed up my nose. I had my head leaning on that little tiny piece of plastic above the window that barely keeps your head from nodding one way or the other as you try to sleep. And it was all I could do to suppress that growing urge inside of me to simply demand, "Let me out." And not just let me out of this airplane, but let me out of this body with its ears filled with screaming sounds and cursing passengers. Let me out of this body with its nose that's won't stop running and its eyes that are swelling. Let me out of this body with its chest that's congested. Let me out of this body that feels cramped in this seat and whose knees are 2 inches too long to avoid hitting the seat back in front of them. Let me out. Have you been there? Can I get a witness? Now, I grant fully that mine are relatively minuscule complaints. A head cold that may be morphing into a chest cold, it seems, but a week, maybe two at the most. These are small complaints. These are nothing compared to the complaints that many of us have about our bodies. They're nothing compared to, for example, my wife, who has had chronic pain in her body for every day for 5 years without a really solid diagnosis. These are nothing compared to bodies that are inhabited by more serious viruses. These are nothing compared to bodies that are overtaken by unwelcome cancer cells. Nothing compared to bodies that are failing or minds that are forgetting. I realize my complaints are small. My head cold is not much to complain about, but even with such a little inconvenience, there is something about getting sick that makes us all incredibly aware of our physical nature, isn't there? We are tied intricately to our bodies, right? And sometimes we just like out. One of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, puts it like this: "The body makes theologians out of all of us. Why me? Why like this? Why here? Why this long?" Have you asked these questions? These are theological questions, aren't they? Because when we ask them, at some level, in some part of our being, we are usually addressing these questions to God. right? Why, God? Or sometimes simply, God, let me out. Let me out of this body, God. Let me out of this place. Let me out of this situation. Let me out of this life. Let me out of this world, out of this reality. Sometimes our prayers, our hopes, our longings to God, our solution that we hope for is escape, to get out. We look longingly towards the proverbial airplane exit door, and we imagine deploying that evacuation slide that looks like it really is such a cushy ride out of the plane. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Just let me out. I want to escape. Let's take evacuation as our solution. And God's answer comes as a surprise. God's answer sometimes comes even as a disappointment when this is our prayer. God's answer to these questions and these longings is Christmas, Advent, Emmanuel, Incarnation. We heard those wonderful words from John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, made his home among us, pitched his tent among us. This is how, again, Barbara Brown Taylor sums it up with this profoundly important affirmation. Matter matters to God. Matter matters to God. The stuff of this world, the material creation, physicality, minerals, plants, bodies, all of this matters to God. She says, God cares about our nostrils. Our cry, our prayers often let us out of this finite and limited and breakable physical existence. Get us out of this gravity-ruled, cause-and-effect, ecosystem-dependent planet. And God's answer is no. Instead, God's answer is to dive right into the midst of our physical world and become a body amongst us. That's what we've celebrated now for weeks. John again, no one has ever seen God except God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known. The Word became flesh. Divine Spirit became matter. Incarnation happened. Matter matters to God. Why? I think matter matters to God, and incarnation is God's answer because God knows that in the physical creatures which God has formed us into, there is actually so much potential. God created us, after all. There is potential not only for the things that we cry to escape from, but there's also a potential for joy and for pleasure and for delight and for love, for relationships, for communication and creativity, potential for work and for play. And all these things are wrapped up in our created physical existence. We can do them because we are physical beings, not just spirits floating around. And all these things are the things for which God made us. And so while we hope for escape, for salvation by evacuation, for letting us out, God responds with redemption of these things, incarnation. God responds with Advent, with being with us. And this actually turns out to be really good news because there's a history to God's encounter with matter. there's a pattern to it. Remember this? In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, and creation happened. And in the fullness of time, God's Spirit hovered over a Palestinian couple, and incarnation happened. Good news for the poor happened. Freedom for the prisoners happened. Sight for the blind and power for the disempowered happened. When God inhabits the world, when spirit meets matter, creation happens. Recreation happens. New creation happens. And so this body and this place and this moment and this situation and this life and this world and this reality, these become the places where God's Spirit comes to inhabit. These are the places when God meets matter, creation happens, because God comes and coaxes us and prods us and proposes to us, and God lures us towards life and creation and recreation and new creation. And that, for me, is what this meal that we share every so often is all about. Matter matters to God. This created, finite, physical world matters enough for God to inhabit a breakable and bleedable body, and to let that body be broken for the sake of this whole world. This bread and juice that we share over and over and over in our Christian life, they mean that your nostrils, your body, your pain and your pleasure, your fears and your hopes and your longings for this new year, all of these matter immensely to God. And that's very good news. And so we share this meal together. I'm going to invite Pastor Chris and Pastor Austin to come and lead us in this time. And once again, as we practice over and over in our Christian life, we share the Lord's Supper together.